You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
We're talking Cubs baseball today with Cubs reporter Kerry Muscats on MLB.com Extras. And Kerry, this is Monday, March 21st when we're speaking, and the start of the first official week of spring. Always like to get people's feedback on their favorite seasons. For me, spring is number two behind summer and ahead of fall and winter. I'm a warm weather guy, so that's kind of how I rank that. Where does spring rank for you as a baseball reporter?
As a baseball reporter, it's up there. Personally, I prefer the fall.
Okay.
Just because the games tend to mean a lot more at that time. So I would sort of rank fall first and then spring. Fall because of the postseason and the interest, and spring just because everybody's really excited just to get going.
I think a lot of baseball fans would agree with those rankings, fall first and spring second, but spring always finds its way in the top two, I think, with a lot of people. So here we are. The countdown to opening day continues, and Kerry, let's kick things off with well, I'll just put a cheesy line out there, given the news about John Lester, as we put all the bone chips on the table. There we go. I was up all night thinking about that one. The big news this past week, the revelation that John Lester has been pitching with bone chips in his pitching elbow for at least as long as he's been a member of the Cubs, entering his second season in the Windy City. Now, of course, you know, Lester and Joe Maddon, Theo Epstein downplaying the whole thing, and it really has not affected Lester's performance thus far during the spring. He's been outstanding. So in your eyes, is this really a non-issue, or should there be at least a little bit of legitimate cause for concern given what's kind of brewing in John Lester's left elbow?
I really think it's a non-issue, mainly because I've known other pitchers that have pitched with bone chips for a long time, and it's they learn how to treat it. Lester's actually had this problem before he joined the Cubs. He says it's been a few years, so he would have had it while he was with the Red Sox. And if anybody knows Lester's elbow better than Lester, it would be Theo Epstein, because he knew him in Boston, and he had the doctors do the tests, and they discussed bone chips, and they discussed the potential for risk, and they decided to give him the big contract anyway. So I don't think I would be concerned. I think give Lester credit, because if you look at his history, he's only been on the DL twice. One was for treatment of cancer, and another was for a lap strain. So he's never even had been on the DL for any arm issues. So he's learned how to deal with it.
Now, having said all that,
that's a big thing.
Right. And now, having said all that, which I agree with every word, is this still something that the Cubs kind of prefer that this not be revealed? Because, again, not that teams let fan reaction dictate what they do or don't do, but anytime you hear about a guy who's going to be one of your top two starters, who's entering, I believe, his age 32 season, if I'm not mistaken, you hear about something like this, and it does raise a little bit of concern. So, again, is this something that they would have preferred to be kept under wraps?
Well, sure, but if they wanted to do that, then Theo and Lester should have never talked to Jeff Passan for his book.
Agreed. Agreed.
I mean, that's where it was revealed, and it's a very interesting chapter. The book's called The Arm, and it's all about just pitching in baseball. And there's one chapter devoted to the Cubs' pursuit of Lester, and that's how we found out, because Jeff gave us advanced copies. And you know, if they didn't want to reveal it, they shouldn't have talked about it.
Yeah, very good point. So it's something that they were freely revealing to the author, and they knew it was going to get out into you know, the world, and it has. So not a big deal on their end, and probably not a big deal overall, this revelation that John Lester is pitching with bone chips in his elbow. To kind of continue on the topic of Lester, and again staying on the topic of chips, being around Lester as much as you have, is this a guy, does he kind of carry a chip, if you will, on his shoulder, given what happened this past offseason with his former team, the Red Sox, throwing a Brinks truck at David Price, 7 years, $217 million. It's the money that they would not commit to John Lester, you know, a year or two ago when they were negotiating. And, you know, Lester and Price, similar in accomplishments. Lester's got the two rings. Price has the Cy Young. Very similar in age, but again, Price gets the money. Lester does not. Knowing him as you do, is he going to go out there every fifth day and have this on his mind? Or is this something that's just ancient history now and his whole Red Sox saga and his tenure with them is not even on his mind anymore these days?
I'd say the Red Sox are not on his mind anymore, just mainly because, and that's also something that was kind of highlighted in this chapter, and it's also something we've found in talking to Lester in the last year and spring. He's moved on, and he's not looking back. It was a tough decision for him and his family to leave Boston. They seriously considered the Red Sox and their offer, and he decided he put his faith in Theo and put his faith in what the Cubs were doing, and he's totally moved on. I would guarantee you that he's not thinking about anything Boston-related when he takes the mound. I think the problem, if there was a problem last year, and I don't think it was, but I think he put a lot of pressure on himself last season because of the contract, coming over here wanting to show that he was worthy of that. And that more than anything, might have affected his performance just a little too demanding of himself. I think this spring we've seen a guy who it seems just so much more relaxed. A lot of it has to do with the presence of John Lackey, which is his buddy from Boston. A lot of it has to do with him knowing Madden better and knowing the pitching coach Chris Fazio better. And a lot of it just has to do with the fact that Jake Arrieta is now looked at as the ace, and he doesn't have to be the ace anymore. And it's if it were, you know, we've just noticed a much more comfortable vibe around John, and I think that's a good thing for the Cubs.
Absolutely, and he certainly is not the first guy. He will not be the last guy to go through a massive adjustment, changing cities, changing teams, changing leagues in his case, to kind of go through those growing adjustment pains in year one and then to really settle in year two. I think this season we're really going to see the real John Lester, if you will, into 2016. And like you said, to have that comfort level with Jake Arrieta and his buddy, his bromance partner, as we've talked about, John Lackey, there with him in Chicago. It's just going to make him that much more comfortable, and the results should bear that out as the season progresses. Kerry, let's kind of switch gears here. Dying to talk about Joe Maddon, the article you had about him kind of addressing his, as you put it, his lead bulls, seven or eight guys that he kind of tasks with leading this club into this season with all the expectations they have, and how he wants them to kind of police themselves during the year. And the best quote he had easily regarding the dress code, he said, quote, "If you think you look hot, you wear it. That's the dress code." You know, obviously the players love this, but I'm going to play the role of the black cloud, you know, over the rainbow here. Could you make a case, if you're a skeptic and you don't like Maddon's methods, even though he's had so much success, could you make a case that he is perhaps being a little too laid back and allowing a little too much freedom? Obviously, the players love this, but again, could there be a case that he's being a little bit too laid back about this, his rules or policies or lack thereof for a team of professionals during the course of a long, grueling baseball season?
Well, you're interpreting it that there are no rules, and actually he doesn't like the word rules. He prefers the word policies. There are policies, and it's not seven or eight guys. It's actually turned out to be 11 or 12 that Maddon called into his office to do this. There are rules / policies, and it's up to what Maddon is doing is he's asking these dozen players to police this. So if they see somebody who's poorly dressed and who maybe goes a little too far and is showing up in flip-flops and cut-off jeans, shorts, and something, you know, a raggedy T-shirt, the players are going to come down on them. And to be honest, last season, some of the players did sort of monitor that, and there were some comments that were made in the clubhouse. I'm not going to name names, but I do know that they keep an eye on that thing. It's one thing to be casual and to say that there's no policy. It's another thing to look professional. And I think a lot of these guys know the difference. And if they don't, then it'll be up to people like Jake Arrieta and David Ross and John Lester to take it upon themselves to say something to the guys. And it's yeah, there's no rules. Joe Madden doesn't like collared shirts. He gave us a long discussion on that yesterday, which was kind of funny. He doesn't understand why some places require a collared shirt. I don't think Joe owns too many collared shirts. Maybe that's why. But, you know, it's just he doesn't want people worrying about what they're wearing. He wants them worrying about their job. You know, focus on your job. I shouldn't use the word worry, but focus on your job. And I think then that'll get more out of the players.
Yeah, well said. And, you know, as perfect as a fit, as Joe Madden seemed last year with this Cubs team, you know, 95-plus victories, you know, and into the postseason, exceeding expectations. Now they head into 2016 as prohibitive World Series favorites. Did it even take him a year to kind of learn the culture and learn the ways of his new players and his new city and a new setting? We talk about this so much so often with players, as we just did with John Lester. But what about Joe Madden? Again, as perfect as a fit as he seemed, is he even more comfortable with his role, with his players, and with the environment here in year two?
Oh, big time. I mean, you can tell. And the players are, it's reflected back, you know, with the players. I mean, they've had a lot of things going on before pregame stretches down here in spring to sort of break up the monotony of spring training. Some of us have kind of looked at each other and just kind of shook our heads because, like, okay, what are they going to do now? And I just think it's not – a lot of these things aren't necessarily Madden either. A lot of this stuff is coming from the strength coach who's trying to keep things sort of lively. He knows what he can do now. Madden joked that Tim Buss, the strength coach who leads the stretch, should be asking for a 3-year contract extension right now because he's the one that's keeping everybody's spirits up. He's the one that comes up with a lot of this nonsense. You know, players, for example, Ben Zobrist came to Madden and said, "Look, I've got this motivational speaker who also will crack a concrete block open on your chest, and I'd like to have him come and, you know, talk to the players." And so Joe said, "Sure." You know, so it's not. Not all of this is coming from Joe. This is coming from Joe's, maybe the players are feeling that, you know, Zobrist knows Madden from their days in Tampa. So the players probably feel comfortable that they can go that way with him and say, "Here, I've got this, I've got this, I've got this. Let's see what happens."
Kerry, great stuff as always. Thank you so much for the time. We'll do it again next week, of course, as this is Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras Chicago Cubs.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.